Good morning, this is Sunday Dhamma Talk on Radio Thailand. My name is Pra Paibun Abhipuno from Forest Monastery, Wat Pa Don Aisok in Udon Thani. We will be here every week on Sunday in the morning and bring you the teaching of the Buddha. And on the third week of the month and the fifth week, if any, that is my turn. I will bring you the teaching of the Buddha by the Buddha words. Today I would like you to listen to one of the teaching, one of the sutta that was once occasion that many monks came to the Buddha and proclaimed their final knowledge. And this monk came and told Buddha, "I gained an enlightenment." The other monk also came talking the same thing. So many of the monks doing that until there is one of the outsider. One of the outsider came to ask the Buddha, "Are those monks who came to proclaim and declare their final knowledge that they are an arahant, are those really an arahant, so that many?" And that was the question. So the Buddha said, some of them yes, some of them no. Some of them misunderstood that the state in which they are in, there was an arahant, but actually wasn't. But Buddha didn't say anything, just listen to what those monks has been proclaimed. So the following sutta is what the Buddha told this outsider. And this is what he said. "It is possible that some bhikkhu here might think thus. Craving has been called an arrow by the recluse. The poisonous humor of ignorance is speared about by desire, lust, and ill will. That arrow of craving has been removed from me. The poisonous humor of ignorance has been expelled. I am one who is completely intent upon Nibbana. Because he conceives himself thus, though it is contrary to fact, he might pursue those things that are unsuitable for one completely intent on Nibbana. Since he conceives himself thus, though it is contrary to fact, he might pursue those things that are unsuitable for one completely intent on Nibbana. He might pursue the sight of unsuitable forms with the eye. He might pursue unsuitable sounds with the ear, unsuitable odors with the nose, unsuitable flavors with the tongue, unsuitable tangibles with the body, all unsuitable mind objects with the mind. When he pursues the sight of unsuitable forms with the eyes, unsuitable mind objects with the mind, lust invades his mind. With his mind invaded by lust, he would incur death or deathly suffering. Suppose a man were wounded by an arrow thickly smeared with poison, and his friends and companions, his kinmen and relatives, brought a surgeon. The surgeon would cut around the opening of the wound with a knife. Then he would probe for the arrow with a probe. Then he would pull out the arrow and would expel the poisonous humor, leaving a trace of it behind. Thinking that no trace were left behind, he would say, 'Good man, the arrow has been pulled out from you. The poisonous humor has been expelled with no trace left behind, and it is incapable of harming you. Eat only suitable food. Do not eat unsuitable food, or else the wound may suppurate. From time to time, watch the wound, and from time to time anoint its opening, so that pus and blood do not cover the opening of the wound. Do not walk around in the wind and sun, or else dust and dirt may infect the opening of the wound. Take care of your wound, good man, and see to it that the wound heals. The man would think thus: the arrow has been pulled out from me. The poisonous humor has been expelled with no trace left behind, and it is incapable of harming me. He would eat unsuitable food, and the wound would suppurate. He would not watch the wound from time to time, nor would anoint it opening from time to time, and pus and blood would cover the opening from the wound. He would walk around in the wind and sun, and dust and dirt would infect the opening of the wound. He would not take care of his wound, nor would he see to it that the wound heals. Then both, because he does what is unsuitable, and because a trace was left behind when the full poisonous humor was expelled, the wound would swell, and with its swelling he would incur death or deathly suffering. For it is death in the disciplined of the noble one when one abandons the training and revert to lower life, and it is deathly suffering when one commits some defiled offense. And this is what will happen to the person who think they are attaining enlightenment, but didn't do the suitable things for the people who attained the Nibbana, but didn't protect the wound, that is the 4 or 6 faculties, the eyes, the ears, and to the mind objects. If the faculty is unguarded, this means the wound is not being taken care of. And if the one that's not taking care of their wound, the humerus may be incurred. When that incurs, the death or the deathly suffering may happen. The deathly suffering means the offense in the monk's practice, and the death means have to be disrobed. And let's listen to someone who are taking care of the wound and only consume the suitable things. And this is what happened. It is possible that some people here might think thus: craving has been called an arrow by the recluse. The poisonous humor of ignorance is spread about by desire, lust, and ill will. The arrow of craving has been pulled out from me. The poisonous humor of ignorance has been expelled. I am one who is completely intent on Nibbana. Being one who really is completely intent on Nibbana, he would not pursue the sight of unsuitable forms with the eye. He would not pursue unsuitable sounds with the ear. He would not pursue unsuitable odors with the nose, unsuitable flavors with the tongue, unsuitable tangibles with the body, or unsuitable mind objects with the mind. When he did not pursue the sight of unsuitable forms with the eyes, or the unsuitable mind objects with the mind, lust did not invade his mind. When his mind not invaded by lust, he would not incur death or deathly suffering. Suppose a man were wounded by an arrow thickly smeared with poison, and his friends and companions, his kinmen and relatives, brought a surgeon. The surgeon would cut around the opening of the wound with a knife. Then he would probe for the arrow with the probe. Then he would pull out the arrow and would expel the poisonous humor without leaving a trace of it behind. Knowing that no trace was left behind, he would say, "Good man, the arrow has been pulled out from you. The poisonous humor has been expelled with no trace left behind, and it is incapable of harming you. Eat only suitable food. Do not eat unsuitable food, or else the wound may suppurate. From time to time, watch the wound, and from time to time, anoint its opening, so that pus and blood do not cover the opening of the wound. Do not walk around in the wind and sun, or else dust and dirt may infect the opening of the wound. Take care of your wound, good man, and see to it that the wound heals." And the man would think, "The arrow has been pulled out from me. The poisonous humor has been expelled, with no trace left behind, and it is incapable of harming me." Then he would eat only suitable food, and he and the wound would not suppurate. From time to time, he would watch the wound, and from time to time, he would anoint its opening, and pus and blood would not cover the opening of the wound. He would not walk around in the wind and sun, and dust and dirt would not infect the opening of the wound. He would take care of his wound and would see to it that the wound heals. Then both because he does what is suitable and because no trace was left behind when the full poisonous humor was expelled, the wound would heal, and because it has healed, it was covered with skin, he would not incur death or deadly suffering. I have given this simile in order to convey a meaning. This is the meaning here. Wound is a term of the six internal bases. The poisonous humor is a term for ignorance. Arrow is a term for craving. The probe is a term for mindfulness. Knife is a term for noble wisdom. Surgeon is a term for the Tathagata, the accomplished one, the fully enlightened one. And this is the Buddha words on the path of the person who taking a good care of the opening of their wound. All of us has a wound. We are wounded by the arrow of craving. The moment you crave about certain things, you've been stabbed by this arrow. And this arrow is not just a normal arrow. It's a poisonous humor by this ignorance. This poisonous ignorance will flow into the bloodstream. So when someone thinks that they are an arahant, so what they need to take care of the opening, the wound. Same thing as the one who did not attain an arahant, or practicing the way to attain an arahant, practicing the way to the Nibbana. Both of them has to guard their senses, whether they already attained and the final knowledge or not. So this is a practice. If you can see that regardless of whether you attain the final knowledge, you also have to guard your senses. How do you guard your senses? We use a probe. When we are wounded, the arrow is in there. So we need to use a probe, that is the mindfulness, to look for the arrow and then pull it out. You need to use the knife to cut it in to find it. The arrow and pull it out. The knife is the wisdom. The probe is the mindfulness. So to be able to guard your senses, to guard your faculty, you need to have the mindfulness to be aware of yourself. How to be aware of your own mind, to be aware of yourself, we need an instrument. This instrument, this tool is called the establishment of the four mindfulness. How do you establish the four factor of mindfulness? And that's why we talk about the breathing meditation, the breathing that allows you to establish the mindfulness. When you inhale and when you exhale, the air that around you, when it starts to flow, it becomes the wind, right? So when it's flowing into your body, that is the inhale. When the air flowing outside of your body, that is the exhale, or the breathe out, when you breathe out. This air, when it flow, that will, if it touch your body, let's say the wind blower from nature wind, or the fan, from the, or the air conditioning, when it blow, when it move, it will touch your body and you can feel, you can sense the sensation of the air that touches your body. Same thing as the inhales and exhales. When it's coming into your body, always when it's going out of your body through the nostril, it touches those tissue inside your nostril. Inside your nostril, there's a lot of sensitive tissue. When it touches, you can feel the sensation. This sensation sometimes is soft, sometimes it's hard, whether it's subtle or it's gross. You can actually feel. You can actually feel the sensation. And this feeling, you're just aware of that feeling. Focus on the spot where you can feel your breath touches your nose in the nostril. And when you're aware of the spot, when you're aware of your own breath, you no need to follow the air going in into your lung, to your chest, into your stomach and diaphragm. No need to do that. Or you don't need to follow your air out to the tip of the nose or the outside. Just stay put on one spot. Because now we need to establish the mindfulness, the point of awareness, the point of recollection. So this point is still. Now in this case, we use the point where you feel the spot where you feel the touches of your nose inside your nostril. And this is called mindfulness. And what happens when your mind is mindful, when your mind are aware of your own breath, is that if anything that comes into contact, whether it's coming from the eye, coming from the ears, coming from the nose, or coming from other senses, or it could be your own thought. Thought is also one of the mind objects. When this contact coming in, what happens is the mind will just aware of those contact, but it doesn't delight, it doesn't adhere to those contact that come in place. For example, if your mind doesn't have the mindfulness, right, it will just can go anywhere. You know, there's no point of recollection, there's no point of it to sit, there's no home to stay. So whatever come in, it will just go. Whoever call, it will just go with them. Similarly to the contact that come in. Some people say something, our mind will just follow them. You know, it's just like running around and keep wandering. Or sometimes we wander in our own mind. This thought and that thought become a wandering mind, a restlessness mind. But if you establish the mindfulness in front of you by using your own breath, establish the mindfulness, this means establish the point of awareness, establish the point of recollection. Instead of the mind will running away, running everywhere, here and there, through the eyes, to the nose, at least the mind has a place to stay. This establishment is where you can set and establish and set up the point of recollection. In this case, we use the breath. And this breathing, when you're breathing in and you breathe out, you don't follow your own breath. You know, just make it one point. Use the one point that you feel the sensation inside your nostril. Inside your nostril, there will be just a spot where you can feel the sensation, or it could be a zone. It could be a certain zone. No need to be specific whether it's a rectangular shape, or it's a donut shape, or it's a round shape, but it's just a feeling that you feel. You know, it could be a certain point, certain area, that you feel the sensation of your own breath inside your nostril. When you do feel that, you just put your mind there. You just be focused there. If certain thought come in, a certain sound, certain voice, or certain things that come into contact with your body, you just be mindful of your mind. Be mindful of your own breath. You can do other things so. And at the same time, you also can be aware of your own breath. Do two things at the same time. Remember when the time you watch the television, you can see the picture, and you can hear the sound from the television, and your mind also think, follow through the story of the movie. Those things can happen all at the same time. Same thing here. We establish the mindfulness. One mind of your own mind, you know, focus and concentrate on the spot where you feel the sensation of your own breath inside your nostril. If anything happens, you just let things be and be natural with that. Breathe normally. Breathe naturally. When you breathe in and breathe out, no need to alter your breathing pattern. No need to force whether make it subtle or make it strong or make it gross. No need to alter to make it fast or make it slow. Just a natural process. To establish the mindfulness is a natural process. You need to put a little bit of focus, need to put a little bit of control. Control, not force. Do not force your mind not to think, or do not force your mind to follow through all those things. But it's just not let go those your mind to running away or running, following through all those contacts. But have a little bit of control. Control in this case, control your mind to be focused on your breath inside your nostril. Don't let it go. Let those things go, but don't let your mind go. Your mind focus here. Let those things that come into contact go. You do not force your mind not to think. Sometimes a thought happens, that's okay. But when the thoughts happen, let them go. Focus your mind on the spot. When you see pictures inside your mind, or when you feel certain sensation in other parts of the body, let it go. Focus your mind on the spot. It's two different parts. Same thing as your own breath. Your breath, when you breathe in and breathe out, is one thing. That is a form. That is one of the four elements. And your mind, the mind that cognizes those forms, the mind that cognizes the breath, the mind that feels the sensation, is two different things. But now we try to focus our mind with the breath. That means the vijnana, the cognition part, make it stick with the forms part. And whatever things are coming into the picture, let them go first. Control your mind, focus your mind on the spot where you can feel the sensation of your own breath inside the nostril. When you do this, this is the awareness. This is the mindfulness. This is the point of awareness. This is a spot for your mind to be recollected here. When you practice your mindfulness until you reach the state of supreme mindfulness, and that is a state in which you can be confident about the practice. And now when you practice, what happens is the mind will gain the strength. This strength is a strength that you can detach from those senses that come into your mind. And when your mind practices this strength, the mind is a strength of the mindfulness, is a strength of awareness. And this strength also increases the concentration strength. When your mind have a power of concentration, you can focus and you can see things from the way they really are. When that happens, you can understand the Four Noble Truths. You will understand the suffering, understand the cause of the suffering, understand the complete destruction of suffering, and understand the path leading to the way of destruction of suffering. Today, time is up. My name is Pra Pai Boon, a people know from Forest Monastery, Wat Pa Don Hai So, in Ruan Thani. I'll see you next time. Goodbye.